Hello out there, we're on the air, it's hockey night tonight. Tension grows, the whistle blows, and the puck goes down the ice. The goalie jumps and the players bump and the fans all go insane. Someone roars, Bobby scores at the good old hockey game.
It's on like Donkey Kong.
Woohoo! Are you ready?
Yes!
I said, are you ready?
Jason Dale!
That is too hot.
I like peni.
That's what she said.
This is a puck.
Hump. I love BJ's Pab Thwabby.
PP Herder.
Blood Puddle.
First Circus.
Steven Ricker's Testicles.
He butted.
Boom chicka wow wow.
No no touchy place.
Beer.
Broken penis.
Vitellary Filippula.
Filippuli.
Filippalapala.
Wow 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 wow.
Use your big boy words.
La 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 la.
Who's the brains in this outfit? My point exactly.
Oh, the good old hockey game is the best game you can name. And the best game you can name is the good old hockey game.
And here we are, Iceman Insights on 96.9 FM, WYIR. I am Derek Benigni, the Dirty D, and guest show concept designer, Michael Shockley, senior writer, webmaster, IcemanManiacs.com, Michael Shockley. How about this snow? Is it wonderful or not?
Walking in a winter wonderland.
Were you able to make it to work today?
Yes.
There you go.
Yeah.
One of the few.
Well, one of the joys of having a job in which you can work from home is that you can always make it to work. Oh. 16 feet of snow, right?
Exactly.
Well, in Evansville standards, I think, you know, if there's more than an inch, it's like dog years. Like,
yeah.
People years to dog years is like actual snow to Evansville snow. So enjoy the 16 feet of snow out there, and we'll keep you company here on Iceman Insights. But for the first time, I'm impressed. You actually got through that intro without screwing it up because it's not written down this time.
Yeah, or saying a curse word.
Yeah. Well, the show has just started.
Speaking of curse words, we start the new year here, our first show of 2016, but unfortunately our Evansville Icemen have not started off too well. 1-6 since the new year has donned its hat. Team struggling a little bit.
Yeah, the team played well in December. You thought, okay, they're finally starting to get things rolling, and you're starting to see all season Al Sims has been saying, just wait until Christmas. If we can get to Christmas, they're going to start to figure it out. They're going to buy into the system. The kids are going to come along, and we're going to start playing good hockey.
Well, you started thinking about, I mean, you start looking at playoffs and the standings,
yeah.
And Indy Fuel's only a few spots ahead of us, but we got games in hand.
Maybe
we can get into the dance.
Right. At one point in December, I think we were only 3 points out of the eighth spot, and as bad as things had gone, you thought, well, you know, 3 points halfway through the season, anything can happen now. And they were playing well and winning games and scoring more goals, and the offense was exploding and the defense was coming around. And then it just went to hell in a handbasket after Christmas, and all kinds of crazy injuries have hit. It seems like at one point there were more bodies hurt or out for various reasons than there were active in the lineup. And we had a game last week, I think it was the Rapid City game, when we had, at one point, we had four defensemen in the game. It was Andrew Himmelson, a guy we had just traded for, a guy we had just signed from the SPHL, and Sebastian Strandberg playing back on D from the wing. And that was your defense core. And that sort of sums up the way the injuries have been lately. But now they're starting to get healthy again, so who knows? Maybe with some guys getting back and maybe a little consistency in the lineup again, maybe they can get it rolling again. But they're still within striking distance of a playoff spot, as bad as it's been. It's looking more of a long shot now than it was a few weeks ago, but still, they're not mathematically, you know, way out of it. Part of that is because the conference is a little top-heavy. There's a few teams at the top, and then there's a whole glut of teams within a handful of points of each other right around that eighth spot.
36 games played, so they are at the halfway point officially. They have games this weekend in Greenville and Atlanta. But the thing that scares me is here you are, you're starting the second half of the season, and you've got a long road trip. They play the next six games on the road. That's like long duck dong kind of long road trip there.
Can you say that?
I'm talking about the character from the 80s movie.
I know.
16 Candles.
I know, but...
It's a name.
Well,
you tell me
I can't say Norfolk when I'm talking about the city in Virginia. Well, it's a city.
You could say Norfolk the way it's exactly.
Phonetically.
Yes, exactly. So yeah, six games all on the road over the next 8 days, and boy, this will be a tough stretch here.
Yeah, you figure this road trip. You know, it is just halfway, but this road trip will go a long way to determining just how realistic this team's playoff hopes are. And I would love to see them rattle off 2, 3, 4 wins on this trip, but it's going to be a tough trip because you're facing some good teams and Wichita. just a lot of time on the road. But you never know with the guys getting healthy now and go on the road, you don't have that pressure of playing at home. They've been a pretty good road team this year. They've been right around 500 all year. Better on the road than they have been at home. So who knows?
Well, part of it too, news breaking yesterday that Alex Guptill got recalled back up to Binghamton.
You mean Monday.
Oh, was that Monday?
2 days ago, yes.
Oh, sorry. Got my finger on the pulse.
Yeah.
Well, I would have known that, but I was too busy watching the disaster that is the Maniacs Asylum. Ooh. and Iceman Iggy.
Did you get your popcorn and just sit down and enjoy it
there's
all?
There's nothing better. There's absolutely nothing better. So I laughed and laughed and laughed. It's amazing. So Wednesday or Monday he was called up, and again, we talked about it in the preseason. We had concerns about where is scoring coming from this team, and he was one of the better scorers. He's out of the lineup. You saw that Danny Hobbs came back 2 weeks ago, and you read the waiver transaction. You think, oh, this is going to be a shot in the arm, and sure enough, shot in the arm. And
scores a goal in his first shift. He was on the ice for like 15 seconds, and he scored.
But unfortunately, those kind of situations are few and far between, and we've learned this in the ECHL through 4 years now that the AHL guys are great to get you over the hump, but you got to have that core put together that is going to be there week in, week out, that is going to give you 500 hockey, and then you add to it from there. And this roster still continues to struggle.
Yeah. Well, we saw for a while the Levier-Weidman-Fossett line was on fire, and they've sort of come back to earth. At one point, Levier and Fossett were both in the top three in goal scoring in the league. And they've sort of slowed down, and that line's since been broken up. So, yeah, where are you getting the scoring now? We started the season out where when we couldn't score enough goals, even though we were playing pretty good defense and getting pretty good goaltending. And then the tables turned, and we were scoring 5-6 goals a game, giving up a lot of goals. But we were still managing to win some games because we were scoring enough. And now that scoring has gone away, and we're losing games 2-1 again. So you hope that the offense can somehow find itself. It has been nice to see another infusion of new talent that we haven't talked about because we haven't had a show since he was signed. But your boy Mike Duco joins the Icemen.
Love it.
Which you told me former Leaf, and I said he never played for the Leafs. He only played for the Marlies, and you said same thing.
Pretty much.
Well,
it is pretty much one team with 50 guys on it, and they just kind of go back.
Well, and like I said to you via private message, the Leafs sometimes do look like an AHL team.
Exactly, that's what I mean.
So yeah, he it's been nice seeing him play, and he actually wore an A on his jersey a few games ago when some of the leaders were hurt. So I've liked what he's brought to the team. He's been playing well. Hasn't had a ton of offensive output, especially the last few games, but he's playing well, and he's a good addition to this team.
He was a leader in Orlando. He became the captain of the Indy Fuel team in their inaugural season, and yeah, I was really excited to get him on the roster. So hopefully he's a guy that'll stay around for next year or the year after, maybe.
Next year?
Oh, next year.
Next year.
Wherever that may be.
So what you're saying is he should start looking for apartments in Owensboro?
You know, I've been around this league on a bus, and I am not sure Owensboro has the capabilities to handle said ECHL.
Well, for starters, you know, the building needs a lot of work.
Yeah, in a short time.
Like, you know, a bigger floor, an ice plant, more seats, a higher roof. Yeah. Other than that.
An ice plant.
It's great. Yeah, so stranger things have happened. It's minor league hockey. You never know. But if it happens, I don't see any way that happens for next season.
No,
there's no way you could get that much work done in that short amount of time. So what is your take on the whole situation in general?
Well, it's a tough situation. I think not to get deep into politics, but this administration has shown that they are going to stay at the budget, under budget, and they are not going to raise taxes because they all want to get reelected. I got many friends that work for the city in different departments, and going back 2-3 years ago, it has been a pain for them to get any money to make any changes, updates needed, things that needed to get maintained, and to get money out of this city has been super, super tough. And I think Ron Gary picked the absolute worst administration to try and get a major, major reduction in his lease, because there is no way that this administration is raising taxes. And I follow a bunch of the city council people on Twitter, and last year, last November, at the end of their session, they were listing all these programs that were getting cut, and everyone was on Facebook saying, how can they cut this? How can they cut that? Well, they don't have the money for it, and they're not going to raise taxes. And right after this thing finishes up in session, and they cut five or six major programs, the city cut the funding for five or six major programs that affect people.
And over $200,000 from the Ford Center's budget itself.
Then Ron Gary comes in wanting bad timing, and this is just the prototypical irresistible force against an unmovable object.
Well, I think the biggest problem is the fans in general, and fan is short for fanatic, are looking at this in way too emotional of a way.
Agreed.
Which is, well, that's typical for Iceman fans in general. But I think what we have to bear in mind is, at its root, 100%, this is a business issue. It's about the money. The fact that this is all going down doesn't mean Lloyd Wenneke hates hockey or the Iceman. It doesn't mean Ron Geary hates Evansville or doesn't appreciate the fans who've supported this team for years. It's just business.
Yep.
And you can try to infuse emotion into business all you want, but that doesn't change the fact that it is all about the money. And sometimes, and I don't know enough about the details. I mean, we are not privy to the books for the Nope. city or the team. We don't know what the bottom line is on either side. All we know is what they tell us in public. The city says that they are breaking even and they're not willing to take a deal that's worse than that. Ron Gary says he's losing money and he wants a better deal so that he's not losing money. Well, if both of those sides are telling the truth, if the city really is breaking even and Ron Gary really is losing money, then maybe there's just not enough money to go around. You can't manufacture money.
Well, you can, but if you get caught, you go to jail.
Well, yeah, exactly. And while Ron Gary is in the gambling business with Ellis Park, that's sort of manufacturing money in a way. But
yes.
But yeah, it's a business issue. It's a completely a financial issue, and people are getting way too emotional about it. Now, that's not to say you can't be emotional about the impact of this, the results of this impasse. It sucks. It sucks for everybody. It sucks for the fans. It sucks for the team. Everyone that is involved with this Iceman operation wants to see it continue. But, you know, it's still a business. It's all about the money. And if the money's not there, then there may not be a deal, as much as we hate to admit that. And I don't know where the money is going to come from. I honestly don't. I don't, you know, like I said, if everyone is telling the truth, if both sides are telling the truth, I don't see how you can fault either side. You look, you know, in general, if you take emotion out of it, of being a hockey fan, and look at any other business, people will look at a business and say, well, I don't want taxpayer money subsidizing that business.
Yep.
But then when that business happens to be your favorite hockey team, you're all for it. But on the flip side, with Ron Geary, you know, there's one person who can ultimately decide how Ron Geary spends his money, and that person is Ron Geary.
Yep.
And if he decides, I'm losing too much money, and if I can't get a better deal, I'm not going to just keep pouring money into this operation, then that's his prerogative.
Yep, no doubt about it. And Lloyd Winicky and his staff and everything else, they want to get reelected. They like their jobs. And unfortunately, as much as we think, well, we're the bee's knees in this city, you put all of our season ticket holders together and all of us, the rest of us fans that aren't season ticket holders but huge Iceman fans, our votes alone are not going to get Winicky in office
right.
for 2016 through 2020. So guess what? We don't have the sway that we think we have.
By the way, a 1954 called. It wants its phrase back.
What phrase did I use?
The bee's knees.
Oh, that's yeah. Nice. Well, I was going to say something
I like
else.
That.
I was going to go a little upper body and thought with Andy Fuller in the building, probably going to go away from that.
Yeah,
so.
he's wandering down the hallway.
So
that's the danger of going unscripted.
Yes.
This is the first time, even dating all the way back to the very first show we did, this is the first time we're totally flying without a script because I've been too darn busy to put something together for this week. So we're just in here riffing, and yep. When that happens, it's dangerous.
Well, it's pretty dangerous when we do have a script. So,
well, that's true.
And the only problem I have with the negotiations is just some of the moves, you know, bringing in the mayor of Owensboro for the game and everything else.
That took cojones, I tell you. I get it, but it took cojones.
I just, you know, just the emotion of that. And everything I've seen the city put out has been like bullet point, logical step. This is where we are. And I don't see where you can get this same building, the same treatment, in a city like this, anywhere else in the U.S., and get it for half the cost or a quarter of the cost. I just, you know, this whole Owensboro thing, I mean, you're talking about building, you're talking about major structures.
Millions of dollars would have to
be
spent.
The city has come out and said, you know, that article last week that came out that said that Fort Wayne Comets and their ownership has been down, and the mayor said he appreciated the time he was taking, but why isn't he hearing this stuff from the Icemen? He said that Fort Wayne Comets brought up some great points. Why isn't he hearing this from the Icemen? So it's confusing. It really is confusing. The whole, I guess, waited out. My opinion is, like, I love the Icemen. I don't want to see him move, but that is a fantastic building. And there will always be hockey in that building. It may not be ECHL hockey, but it's going to be good hockey. And it doesn't bother me because the Thunderbolts, to me, are just as good as the Icemen. And Evansville Thunder, high school Evansville Thunder, is just as good as the Thunderbolts, which is just as good as the Icemen, because I am a hockey fanatic and I will watch it all.
I think the interesting thing is, if the Icemen don't come to a deal with the city of Evansville, the ECHL could not put another team at the Ford Center because the Icemen would own the territorial rights in
Correct.
The league.
Yep.
And considering the fact that I believe there's still 5 or 6 years left on the contract the Icemen signed with the ECHL, that would make sense. But the question is, if they move to Owensboro, how does that affect the territorial rights? Does the team still maintain rights to Evansville because of the proximity to Owensboro? Or by moving to another city, albeit a close one, would that negate the territorial rights and open the door for the ECHL to return to Evansville? And if that happened, what kind of a rivalry would Evansville and Owensboro have?
Well, my total guess is they would still have territorial rights. And even if they didn't, I can't believe two ECHL teams could survive within 45 minutes of each other in small town southern America. So I don't think that part is doable. But I love the USHL, and they just keep continuing to build and build and build and get high draft picks in the NHL. I'd love to see a USHL team. The SPHL continues to get better and better. You know, Peoria went from an AHL team to a SPHL team.
And they're still supporting it.
And they are still supporting it.
Well,
so
I agree. I think the SPHL, the quality of play has gotten better and better. And you're seeing more and more players in the SP come up to the E, even if it's just as a short-term injury replacement or something. But you're seeing players come up, and they don't. It's not that they don't fit in. They can come up and play. Now, they may not light the scoreboard on fire, but they're good quality hockey players. And I think as the quality of the SPHL continues to improve, and we see them continue to expand, and they're real serious about wanting to build a Midwestern division around Peoria. And if they can do that and bring Evansville into the mix, I could very well see that being viable, and we would have a heck of a rivalry with the Rivermen. And I, you know, as much as I love the ECHL and the rivalries that we have with Fort Wayne and Indy and Cincinnati and others, Quad City, and as much as I love the quality of play, there are some advantages to the SPHL should it come to that, in that, A, less player movement. You're not as dependent on the upper levels. You can pretty much build a core, and you're going to have some guys get called up to the ECHL, but it's not going to be nearly as much as we see currently in the ECHL with player movement going up and down. So that's one advantage. And another advantage is, instead of a January trip to Kalamazoo or Toledo, you can go south.
Yeah. Indeed.
Although it's ironic timing that I say that now when the Icemen are going to Greenville and Atlanta this week, but those are few and far between in this league.
Yeah, and the one thing I wonder if this population here is more set up for the SPHL. Is there going to be more brawls? Is there going to be more fights? Is there going to be where the ECHL is starting to get more professional and you've got a couple of guys that'll throw the mitts every once in a while, but you could really have a bare knuckles, old swander kind of Iceman team, and that may play more to this hockey base that we have here. I mean, for years I've gone to the Ford Center and talked to people after a game and said, you know, did you enjoy the game? And they say, no. There wasn't any fights.
Yeah.
I said, we won 3-1. They said, there wasn't any fights.
Right.
And so maybe a lower level hockey that's a little more gooned up may work better in this marketplace.
Right. I think there are a lot of reasons to believe that the SPHL could succeed here. Now, when you put all the pros and cons on paper, I think the ECHL is the right league for Evansville. But if that's not going to work out, I would be okay with the SPHL too. I think it's trending in the right direction. I think it's a type of product that would sell well in this market. My one biggest concern with the SP, though, is will it be financially viable? Because I don't see an SPHL team getting a remarkably better lease than the Icemen currently have. And if the Icemen can't make money with higher ticket prices and slightly higher salaries, you know, is an SPHL team going to be able to make money in this market on a similar deal?
I think they will, because there's two, going back to the old Jeff Pyle days, there's two mistakes you make in the ECHL. You spend money on stuff that you shouldn't, or you don't spend money on something you should. And most teams go out of business because they spend money on things they shouldn't. And payroll is going to go way down with an SPHL team.
True.
Ticket prices can go down even though the lease price is the same, because you're controlling all of your internal costs. So I think that has a – I think just that whole mindset is different. You're not going to need a huge sales ticket staff. You're not going to need I don't expect the production and the promotional level that you have with the Icemen right now, because you don't have the budget for it. I think you're going to get good, cheap hockey for a cheap price, and it's just going to pay for the lease, and then everything else takes care of itself. So just a thought. One thing, generally speaking about this lease, I think it was a – I understand where the deal was. I understand Ron and the Icemen wanting a better deal now. But the Icemen released their declining attendance over the years. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I think the lease was fair, because I think the city deserved to recoup some of that money, because Yeah, a lot of that was Iceman fans, but a lot of that was, hey, let's go down to the Ford Center and see the shiny new Ford Center. Every brand new building that is built, baseball, football, hockey, whatever the sport it is, you see an increased attendance in the first 3 years because everyone wants to go to it.
Right.
And now we're through that. Everyone's been here. Everyone's seen it. It's neat. They've seen a concert. They've seen a sporting event.
The honeymoon's over.
And the honeymoon is over. And you've seen that in the attendance. But on the flip side of that, too, I did prepare for today's show.
Whoa.
2012-2013, Rich Kroms, Evansville Iceman, 25-43-4, 57 points, 22 out of 23 teams. That's what place they were in.
Mm-hmm.
The next year, Jeff Piles, Evansville Iceman, 31-34-7 for 73 points. They were 17th out of 21 teams. Last year's Mullen Sims teams, 15-48-6-3 for a whopping 39 points. Boy, makes that Rich Crom first season not seem too bad. 28th of 28th, and the current team halfway through the year with Al Sims, 13-19-3-1, 30 points, 27th out of 28th place. This team, in 3 out of 4 years of existence, has been the bottom two teams. 3 out of 4 years.
That's a tough sell.
They have never made the playoffs, and 3 out of 4 years, they have been a bottom team with 4 coaches in those 4 years. So you can talk about lease, you can talk about losing money and everything else, but where is this organization going? Al Sims, all things being equal, is going to have 60 points in this season. He's going to go 26-38-4-2. And he's probably going to end up 26th, 27th out of 28 teams. Is he coming back next year, or are we redoing this whole thing all over
again?
Blow
it all up and start all over again.
Because that is the Iceman thing. You know, 4 coaches in 4 years.
It's tough. We've said it all along that there would be that honeymoon period with not only the building, but the team in general. But at some point, things will start to level off, and you have to start winning. We saw it with the Blue Cats. The Blue Cats were a great success at Roberts Stadium back in the day for a few years. People went. People had fun. And it's not that their production dropped off as far as game ops. They were still putting on a good show. People were still having fun. But the team just never won consistently. And eventually that was its undoing. And it seems like the Icemen are in that realm right now where you sooner or later you have to start winning. Because we've seen it with the Otters too. They had losing season after losing season and attendance went down. The last couple of years they've been good. People are going again.
Yep.
It doesn't take that long for you to recover that fan base. If you put together half of a really good season, people will start to get the buzz and start to come back. And we've seen glimpses of that this season. We saw it in December a little bit when the team was playing well. And you know, we saw some of the numbers get a little bit better. The crowd on Saturday night for Star Wars night was great. But the losing does indeed take a toll. We saw it back at the beginning of the season with the home opener. The home opener attendance was down, way down from the last few years. And that was before anything ever broke about the lease negotiations.
Well, even before the home opener, you know, I sharpened a few pairs of skates, and a bunch of people that came in were telling me that they were not renewing their season tickets. And by my count, it was close to 40 people. Just in the few people I know, the skates that I sharpened, 40 people were not renewing their skates. You can't have seasons like 15-48 for 39 points and expect to sell tickets. You just can't do it, especially after you replaced Jeff Pyle in the first year the team's ever been over 500.
Yeah.
And followed up with a 15-48 season.
Yeah. Well, and the unfortunate thing is, you know, people will look at the records and you can say what you want. There are a lot of people who are vocally opposed to the way Ron Geary runs this organization. But I have seen Ron Geary kick things after the team has lost. The man does not like to lose. You can say what you want about how he runs things, but there is no doubt in my mind that the people who claim that Ron Geary doesn't care about winning have no idea what they're talking
about.
He's
the guy that painted his face back in the old Swan
exactly.
days.
He gets PO'd when this team loses, and he is super happy when this team wins. So it's not for lack of trying. It's just the stuff that keeps getting thrown at the wall for whatever reason, for a variety of reasons, just isn't sticking to the wall.
Yep. Wrapping it up here, you're listening to Iceman Insights on 96.9 FM, WYIR, part of Amusement Park Radio. Michael Shockley, the senior writer, the webmaster, IcemanManiacs.com. Where do you go for all your information on this team, especially if you want to know who got called up on Monday? Don't go to Facebook. Don't go to the Maniacs Asylum. There's too much crybaby baloney in there. You go to IcemanManiacs.com. 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 367 days a year. Why? Whoa. Because he's so good, he even finds a couple of extra days with bonus information right there. IcemanManiacs.com.
No
Final
pressure.
Thoughts.
When is our next show?
Who the hell knows?
We'll be back whenever we get around to it. You've been traveling the world. How is Iowa, by the way?
Iowa is...
cold? Flat?
Unimpressive, to say the least.
Bleh?
Yeah, I would say bleh. Bleh. And not only is it bleh, but getting there and back on numerous two-lane highways doing 55 miles an hour, unless you're behind a truck or some old dude and you're doing 45... is bad.
Really bad.
Still like it more than Arkansas, where I may be next week again. So, but yeah. Iowa is Iowa.
You and your big boy job traveling all over, seeing all these exotic locales. So whenever your schedule allows it, we'll do another show.
Yep. We will we'll keep everyone in the loop. The Evansville Iceman on the road. 6 games, the next 6 games all on the road, and myself included. I may be on the road as well.
Next home game is the 6th of February.
Yep.
I tell you what, I'm looking forward to at the end of February, the 26th and 27th is the Pink the Rink weekend.
Mm-hmm.
Looking forward to it. My mom, who is a breast cancer survivor, will be in town and going to those games. And
fantastic.
We'll get to paint her name on the ice after the game on Friday. And so I'm looking forward to that. And I want to say, on Saturday night, I hope the 8,000-plus people who were there for Star Wars night really enjoyed it, because I took some video of goal celebrations and stuff during that game, because I think that may be the last time, for a while at least, that we see that many people in the Ford Center to watch a hockey game. And it was pretty fun to see that many people and hear that place that loud again, because when it is packed or close to packed and you get an exciting game with a close game and some fights, there's nothing like it.
Nope. It's a great fan base here. He is Michael Shockley, senior writer, webmaster, Iceman Maniacs.
What?
Webmaster. I said it. It's you dragged a little bit.
You've been drinking again?
96.9 FM. What else are you going to do when there's 16 feet of snow on
the
ground?
Well, that's true. And you got the stash, so you got to talk like that.
Terry Ficarelli up next for your Thunderbolts update.
Pleasure to be here, Derek. Can't wait to talk to you about the Thunderbolts. We finally won a game a couple weeks ago. Did you see that? It was splendid. Awesome. Splendor for us. So long. See you later. Hit Frank Sinatra, old blue eyes. I love him. We'll see you on the radio.
The puck is in. The home team wins the good old hockey game.